You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
All right, we have a big, big show planned this afternoon. Massive show. Because we're doing something today we haven't done in quite some time.
We're going the two-man show.
It's a two-man show.
We can get through it. We'll do it.
Oh, I have all the confidence in the world.
There's no more dynamite drop-ins, Monty, today. Not happening. It will not happen once.
You're going to be fully committed and focused until 7 o'clock.
That's the goal.
All right, man. I'm putting faith in you.
I will say you got to do me one favor. Good interview, something. We replay it in the 6 o'clock.
We don't have time for that because your boy Stu Grimson is going to be in studio at 4:30. He's got a new book out, your former teammate, your guy. So he's going to be in here. We got John Herdman coming on at 6:30. Everyone's favorite coach.
National team. One of the better looking coaches.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good thing going. He's got a big win against the Americans a couple of nights ago at BMO. Good looking guy. Seems to be a true motivator. The team is rallying around him.
Never pulls a German coach move, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't. Oh, the scratch and sniff.
He will never do that.
Right. We haven't mentioned him in a long time.
Man, did that guy get after it.
Yeah.
What was that, the World Cup he was doing that?
World Cup, Euros, every single time they play, he's out there doing it, man. He cannot control himself.
And he had multiple.
What was his name again, Grappler? Look him up. The coach for the German national team. Really successful guy. I mean, he's won World Cups. And
he had some just interesting moves on the bench.
Joachim Löw, that's his name. Yeah. So he'll be back in action, I think, this summer. Like, the Euros go down this summer, and I got to believe Germany's there, and he'll be a big part of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got that going, and Ray's coming on. The insiders are both going to be in studio, Bob and Dregs at 6 o'clock.
We're going to call it an insider roundtable.
Yeah, and the breaking news, which I don't think it's necessarily breaking news, but if you learn anything from cable news networks down in the States and even up here, you just keep calling it breaking news. Like, for 24 hours, it's breaking news. If you happen to be on the air, you get to go with breaking news. John Tavares has broken a finger. Happened last night. We don't know exactly when.
Morgan Riley hit him with a slap shot or wrist shot. Morgan Riley shot.
That's what most people are thinking. And he stayed in the game. He scored a goal late, and he was on the ice final minute and a half when they were buzzing, but they never really actually got great opportunities to score and tie the game up. But he's out for a minimum of 2 weeks.
Very
simple. I
got to
think it's more than that.
Jason Spezza, go play second line with Mitch Marner and Mikhaev or Moore or somebody.
I'm not sure he puts him up that high in the lineup. How do you go from the press box to the second line center?
How long do you, like, what do you think Jason Spezza has done the majority of his career? Don't you think this is a situation where you say, you know what, turn back the clock for 2 weeks?
Can he do that?
Huh?
I don't know if he can do that.
He can do that for 2 weeks.
I think you move Kerfoot up. That's your guy. You're committed to him for three more years. You
he's
paid
a third,
him.
Brian, he's a third-line player.
Yeah, but Spezza's not even a top 12 right now. He's not even playing. Just because you were something 10
years
ago.
Well, go trigger something. Say, look, we need you for 2 weeks to do something.
See, I think you're looking at the wrong guy. You're looking at the wrong guy.
Oh, so Freddie the Goat's going to go up there?
No. Higher than that. 34. Let's go.
Well,
let's
look what Sidney Crosby's done in the absence of Malkin.
Exactly. Now, Sidney Crosby's a top 10 player all time. He's done this before. He's done it throughout his career. He's consistent. He's a machine. Malkin has been out now for about a week and a half. They are undefeated. They're 4-0. He's dragging that team into playoff contention. Colorado had not lost a game all year. They go into the igloo last night. Crosby goes, you're not walking out with a win. $11.6 million. You're one of the top three or four highest paid players in the league. You're 10 years younger. You're not as good. Like, Sid is Sid. I'm not trying to pretend as if Matthews can just morph into a top 10 player all the time. But that's the guy I'm looking at. That's the guy.
I totally agree.
Prove it to me. Prove it to me and prove it to Leafs Nation that you can drag your team.
That's right. And don't chip in with one goal and a 4-1. I'm talking be the best player on the ice. There was a game in Buffalo last year where he was the best player on the ice every time he stepped on the ice. And I can't get that game out of my mind because he was that dominant. And he's got to do that for 2 weeks.
But that was a bad team. Like, I need him dominant on Saturday night.
Of just course.
Boston's in town. You play like you did last night or last week against Tampa, Boston's going to come in here and embarrass
you. He was good
for
17 minutes last night, tops. Like, the last period, he kind of showed flashes, had some cycles. First 30 minutes of that game,
he was just kind of floating around.
Yeah, he was out for a skate.
And that's been the story of his career. You know, I love him as a player. And
you love him as a player because
he's been inconsistent.
One of the most dynamic goal scorers of all time.
Right. I you can see it. It's not like it's all projection. It's not like it's a scenario where he's never shown you flashes before. He is more than capable of being the best player on the ice pretty much every night.
Yeah.
Outside of maybe a game in Edmonton, maybe a game in Pittsburgh, game in Colorado, there aren't too many players in this league where you should say, I'm not sure he can get to that level.
Yeah.
So
I guess what you're saying is we don't want to look at him and say, yeah, he was opportunistic, had a goal and assist. Be the best player on the ice.
Elevate your game. And I actually think this could be a blessing in disguise. No one wants to see players get injured, especially not important, prominent players like John Tavares. But this team has been just going through the motions through 2 weeks. They're inconsistent. They lack identity. They look like they're dealing with their own scar tissue. They look like they've accomplished something and they're bored with October hockey. Meanwhile, they haven't accomplished anything outside of in the negotiating room. They've been paid like they've accomplished a lot of things. But on the ice, they have not accomplished anything collectively as a team. And it's a perfect opportunity for Matthews, for Marner, for Nylander, for Morgan Rielly, for Freddie, for these guys who all believe that they're really good players and collectively a really good team. Here's your opportunity to prove it. You're down a big, big guy. Go out there and do not lose a step.
I couldn't agree with you more, but as far as filling in for that position, I think Jason Spezza is the perfect guy to do it. Now, the coach probably doesn't like him enough, and I know you think I'm nuts from saying, how do you go from the press box to that? But that is what he's done his whole career. He's been a frontline guy. It's not like you can forget that. Just say, give me 2 weeks. Give me 2 weeks of your best.
Oh, it's not that he'd be overwhelmed.
No.
He's played 1,200 games. His whole life, he's been that guy. I just don't know if he's capable of doing it anymore.
Well,
like, that's what I'm saying.
For two weeks? That's what they're asking, for 2 weeks. They're not asking him to say, bring us the cup. Like, be the guy. For 2 weeks, fill in and do a job.
Yeah.
He can do that.
I'd like to see
it. I'm fully confident he can do that.
I'd give him that opportunity. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But I think,
because you put Kerfoot there, or you put Freddie the Goat there, Mitch Marner for 2 weeks is going to be saying, I don't ever see the puck. I give it to somebody. I don't get it back. Give it a shot for 2 weeks.
I'm with you on that, but I don't want to hear that out of Mitch Marner, because you're the seventh highest paid player in the league. If you're a top 10 paid player in the league, that would suggest you should be a top 10 type player. Top 10 type players don't rely on their line mates. They don't need line mates.
And that's been said about Mitch his whole time in Toronto. He drives the line, so go ahead and drive something.
Exactly. It's not going to be easy. And over time, you're not going to have to worry about it, because Tavares is going to return, and you're going to get right back on the ice with your boy. And long term, you do need help. Like, over the course of your career, Gretzky had Curry. Lemieux had Jágr and Francis. And, like, these great players still get to play with great players, and that's going to help you. But when you're in a bind like you are right now, Mitch Marner's got to elevate. Mitch Marner's got to prove he's worth every penny. And that means you don't go MIA for 2 weeks and say, well, my guy's gone. If you get paid almost $11 million a year, it should be almost irrelevant who you play with over a short span. You should still be able to go out and make an impact. So I'm looking at those two guys.
Yeah.
The faces of the organization in the past 3 years, 3.5 years, 34 and 16. Both of you had to get your money. You wanted your money. You got your money.
Okay, and you know what?
Let's go out and prove that you're worth that money.
If things aren't clicking in game Saturday night against the Boston Bruins, put 34 with 16.
I'd love to see it.
And then just say, here's Nylander, Spezza, and Mikheyev. You're our second line.
That's what I would do right there. I'd load up. Here's your opportunity to load up.
Yeah, play against Bergeron every shift and be better than them.
Right. Colorado does it. Tampa does it. There's a lot of teams in the league. Right now, Pittsburgh effectively is doing it because it's Crosby and Gensel, then just a bunch of guys. It's not like Mike Sullivan's like, all right, I guess we've got to split these two up for some balance.
There's no one to split up.
There's no splitting up, right? And that's going to test Babcock, because that is not the mentality. He very rarely adheres to that type of pressure.
I know. If it's like, if it doesn't start the game like that, it'll rarely change.
Yeah.
He's made two changes, two games in a row, but that was...
He's all about balance. Like, he's obsessed with balance. And it's a philosophy I can understand.
Okay, but right now, balance isn't a big thing for them right now. It's not even really an option. Like, just...
You're dealing with three injuries, too. Like, Hyman and Dermott are players on this team.
Yes,
they can help this team. So it's just one more guy now who's out. But they're 4-3-1. They've beaten four bad teams. The three big boys that they've played, they've lost to. Now you got Boston here on Saturday night. You're at Boston on Tuesday. Let's go. I think it's actually potentially a blessing in disguise, because it's time for a wake-up call on this team. And it might have to be, because the captain's not going to be here. Let's see what you got.
Couldn't agree more.
Let's see what you got. Because they got to prove that they're worthy of being considered one of the top seven or eight teams in the league.
Yeah, last night they were a top seven or eight team in the league, and they fell asleep for 5 to 7 minutes, and it cost them the hockey game.
Right. They were an East Coast Hockey League team for 3 minutes,
yeah,
and it cost you the game.
And there's been a lot of talk about the goaltender, but you go through the goals. Verana, one-timer, open net. I don't know what do you want him to do there. I'm not sure. Kuznetsov's got a breakaway and just blows the doors off of everybody. Pretty good player on a breakaway. Backstrom with a one-timer. Maybe Freddie Anderson stops that. I don't know. Pretty talented player in the slot. And then a 5-on-3.
The Carlson goalie had to have. In my opinion, you got to have that in the NHL based on the moment.
Everybody on the ice was looking at Alex Ovechkin.
Well, it's a 5-on-3, though.
5-on-3, a guy supposed to stop a one-timer from the leading scorer in the National Hockey League? Who the hell stops that?
When you've given up two goals quickly, because every goal, you know how goalies are, man.
I don't even like goalies, but goalies, I'm not going to say he needs to stop that.
Goalies can give you an explanation on every goal they give up. Hey, I was screened. Hey, I think it was
so tipped. Everybody on the ice is teed up on Ovechkin, and he has one of the most unbelievable passes of the season thus far, but he's supposed to stop it. I just don't get your thought process.
Ideally, you stop that puck, yes. I'm just saying, it's not like he went shelf. It was kind of middle of the net through him.
Grappler, text Noodles and see what he thinks of that, John.
What do you think Noodles is going to say? He's going to say one-timer slot, goalies aren't expected to stop that.
So how the hell can you argue that?
Because at some point, you have to make a stop in the National Hockey.
Okay, then it was the Backstrom one, I guess.
I'm not saying that you brought this up. I'm not saying Hutchinson is why they lost last night.
No, I know, but I just...
But at some point, you got to give me a
Twitter,
stop.
The goaltender. I don't know. Of all those goals, I'm going through them.
But an NHL goalie at some point has to say, you know what? My team is really struggling here. I'm going to bail them out. That's what quarterbacks do. That's what pitchers do. It's a very unique position. There's three of them in pro sports, in team sports. Quarterbacks, pitchers, goalies have the ability to drastically change the rhythm of the game. Quarterback and say, that's it. I'm taking over. We're not going to subject our defense to this anymore. We're marching down the field. Follow my lead. Pitcher can go out and say, I'm throwing junk and I'm stopping the bleeding. It's over. And a goalie can do that too. And I know he's a backup and the expectations are lowered because of that, but you can make an excuse on every single goal. Guy was let go. It was his man. Should have had him. Tough rebound. Couldn't get across the ice, but he tried. Guy put it under the bar. What are you going to do? At some point, you just got to get a stop. I know it's basic, and maybe they were going to lose that game anyway based on the way they mailed in those 3 minutes, but I would have liked to have seen a stop on Carlson. Carlson or Backstrom, give me one of them. They're tough stops, but if you're going to play in the National Hockey League, you got to make some tough stops. I don't think that's being harsh or unrealistic. And
it's not, Brian, but I look at the goals. I'm like, I don't know who saves that. Maybe Freddie Anderson saves the Backstrom one-timer, top shelf, under the bar, left alone, out-muscled in the corner. I don't know. Maybe he saves that one.
Yeah, but out-muscled in the corner is irrelevant to the stop.
How can you say that? That's what created the chance.
Yeah, but that's my point. At some point,
that comment right there, you don't know what you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I do.
Being out-muscled in the corner, Morgan Riley got beat to the puck by Oshie, got inside position, and fed it right to the slot for an open shot. What does that have to do with the goalie?
Because the goalie still, when it gets to him, it's a one-on-one situation. He's got to stop the puck. So just because your guy gets out-muscled in the corner, you don't just go and skate in the other corner and say, I'm not stopping this now. You got out-muscled and put me in a precarious position where the guy's wide open in the slot.
All right, here you go. Here's your counter-argument. How many times has Austin Matthews scored this year?
Six, seven times?
Yeah, what have you said?
What, nice goals?
What an unbelievable shot. How many times have you said to me, man, that goalie for Columbus or that goalie from Buffalo, that goalie from whoever needed to stop that one? Never.
What, you don't think
you
the Leafs would score bad goals?
You said to me on the phone, that goalie had no chance.
You don't think the Leafs would score bad goals? You don't think Jimmy Howard on Saturday night looked like a plug chasing that puck when Mikheyev blew by him? You don't think in Detroit they're like, what the hell are you
doing?
Well,
never once he said to me, man,
not
that
his
goalie.
Fault. No, according to your logic, whoever got blown by, it's his fault. It's not Jimmy Howard's fault for saying, no, I'm just going to go up for a skate here and get burned. It's the guy that Mikheyev burned in the neutral zone.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The guy Dubnyk the other night, that Mitch Marner shot, he should have stopped that one.
Yeah, he should have.
Yeah, that was garbage.
And if I'm in mini, that's a garbage goal.
Yeah.
They need a win.
I just don't know how you compare that one to the four last night. I don't know. Maybe I'm stupid.
I don't watch enough hockey apologist.
Or I'm not a pro analyst.
I didn't realize you were a goalie apologist.
I'm not a goalie apologist, man. I'm just wondering, out of those four goals, maybe the Backstrom one, but to say the Carlson one, he's got to stop. Best shooter in the world pump fakes everybody and fakes everybody out, and it's just got to have it.
Based on the timing of the game and the way it had been playing out for about 2.5 minutes, yes. I would have liked to have seen a stop there.
Okay.
It didn't happen. Doesn't mean that the Leafs could just mail in the rest of the game.
I know.
There's nothing they can do. Hutchinson's the backup.
Yeah.
Like anyone thinking they're going to go out there and acquire somebody,
hey,
they don't have money.
The coach said it.
They don't have money to call anybody up right now. Like, this is how desperate they are from a cap situation.
And you know the coach hates the goalie. You probably called him, and you're best buddies now.
Yeah.
10 goals after two games is a problem.
I was talking to Babs on the flight. Babs called me personally because I'm the captain, and he said, Cap, I need your breakdown. And I said, the Carlson goal should have been stopped. He said, I agree with you.
I think that's honestly, Brian, it's the dumbest thing you've ever said. The Carlson goal. He's leading the league in scoring.
Yeah, he's a good
player. And I told
player.
You before, I don't even like goalies. I could care less. I'm not Andy Petrillo or Noodles. They're goalie people. She gives Freddie Anderson an A-plus in grades of the game every game.
Did Hutchinson get graded today? I didn't see. I don't think he came up.
Oh, Andy probably gave him a B+.
Well, look at this with Cap Friendly. Cap Friendly sent this tweet out earlier.
What does Cap Friendly
hour.
Have to do with anybody?
Well, I'm talking about how up against the cap they are and the complete lack of flexibility. So even if Babcock doesn't like Hutchinson, there's nothing they can do.
No.
So
Pooley told me today, he's like, the only guy they can get is like 1.45 million.
Not even. Look at this. The Leafs currently have $380,000 in cap space from the long-term IR relief. Too little to recall any player. And in order for Tavares to go on long-term IR, he has to miss at least 10 games and 24 days. So they don't want to do that. So they have 20 players on the roster, and they can't call anybody up. So if you can't even call somebody up, when a player goes down, you're not going to replace the backup goalie who's making 700 grand with someone making 1.5.
No, you're not.
And that's why we talked.
Okay, for 2 weeks, you just say to Freddie Anderson, guess what? You're playing every game. You're going Grant Fuhr.
Well, it's not only on him, though. Like we said, it's the whole team has to elevate their game. Hutchinson's going to play. Yeah, he's got to play. Like, yeah. He's got to play. He's probably going to play in Boston next week and in Montreal next week.
Can't wait till Austin Matthews just rips one under the bar. I'm going to ask you, whatever goalie, whatever stiffs and net, I'm going to be like, should he have had that? Should he?
I would say Matthews and John Carlson probably a little bit different in terms
leading
of their
the league
abilities.
Leading the league in scoring.
Oh, is he like a sniper now? He's the equivalent of Austin Matthews.
He's leading the league in scoring.
I don't think he is anymore. Pretty sure McDavid's leading the league in scoring. But
oh, so he just morphed into a stiff.
I never said Carlson was a stiff. I didn't even bring up this topic. I had many different things I wanted to get into.
I thought this was supposed to be smooth sailing today. No Al's brother, no Noodles, just kind of like a news-related show.
Well, it is going to be a pretty heavily driven show in terms of topics and news, but we might get Al's brother in at some point. I think whenever we throw, like at the end of the show, we need Al's brother in here.
And get him to do the pro line picks, because yours aren't very good.
Yeah, they've been kind of ugly.
Al's brother, get your pro line picks, give them to Hayes, and you can do them, and then send off.
Yeah, you got 2.5 hours to come up with a real heater, all right? And we'll bring you in for the final segment. He's got his go-to bar shirt on. He looks like Eddie Belfour back there.
He sniffed it out. He knew it was coming.
He looks spectacular. And yesterday, if you missed it, we brought in Al's brother for the beginning of Jerry's Percentages, and he ended up sticking around for the whole segment, even though Mike Johnson returned after a 35-minute hiatus.
And one thing people might not have noticed was Al's brother was using Mike Johnson's earpieces, and it was just amazing.
That was, I think, the lost humor in all of it that maybe only, you know, people within the business would understand.
Because you're talking about grubby earwax, and it's like, here you go, bud, thanks.
Yeah, like earphones are pretty intimate. It's a pretty intimate thing. It's going inside your body.
I'll be flat honest. Mine are gross.
Mine are disgusting.
Yeah.
But I don't want any other grubby pig wearing my my headphones. Not that you are Al's brother. You're a very, you know,
you
clean cut dude.
Pig.
But that was the best part. Johnny returns and Al's brother never gave his headphones. He just said, I'm here. I'm in your seat. I'm using your mic. And I'm going to continue to use your headphones.
Yeah.
So you can email us anytime, live at tsn1050.ca. Text us 105050 with your name.
Why don't you text us at 1050 and tweet Brian at Brian Hayes and let me know what you think of this conversation we just had. And you people can set them straight.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from you. I didn't come in talking about Hutchinson. I
feel
just
like
said,
my brother right now. Like my brother at the kitchen table will just start yelling at me and my dad.
You started yelling.
No, I didn't. It's just, I got to go to the bathroom, bud. We got to go to commercial. We got to get to Grim Reaper.
What's wrong with you?
I didn't pee before the show, and I got to go to the bathroom. So let's go to break, and we'll bring in the Reaper.
All right. Stu Grimson's coming in studio. He's got a new book out. So we got a lot. I was actually watching some of his fights on YouTube last night. I wonder if he would ever watch his own fights.
Of course.
Would you watch your own fight?
Again, like if you're fighting a guy that you fought a month ago, you'd bring up the tape and say, what happened?
Yeah, but I'm talking like 20 years later. Like today. He's got kids and stuff. Like would they sit down and be like,
I don't think they have coffee after dinner and say, look at this one where I really knocked this guy out.
Yeah, here's me and Bob Probert fighting at the Chicago Stadium back in 93. All right, text us 105050 with your name on Twitter, at HayesTSN or at Overdrive1050. We've got a poll question underway as well. We'll tell you about that. The Grim Reaper is going to be in studio. John Herdman at 6:30. Ray Ferraro coming up. Matt Thomas, newest Raptor as well. We got a lot going on. Al's brother at 6:50, sharp, with pro-line picks and a great throwaway. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Stu Grimson is actually going to be in studio in about 10 minutes. They've got him here, but he's like doing calls around the country. He's got a new book out. So he's doing TSN radio in Ottawa, Edmonton, probably Vancouver, everywhere. Eventually, he'll be on TSN radio in Toronto. We'll get him in studio. So that's going to be cool.
When I played with Stu, I didn't know what his name. Like he got traded from Detroit for Primo with Coffee. No, with Primo for Brendan Shanahan. And I just started calling him Reaper. I'm like, the guy's name's Grim Reaper. Like, what do you call the guy, Reaper?
I was watching YouTube clips of him fighting last night, man. He had a snarl on when he got into tilts.
Yeah.
Like, he was choked and ready to rock every single time.
He had a unique move of taking his elbow pads off on the bench before a shift. That's when you knew trouble was
going down. I love those guys. I love those guys. A lot of reaction to our little goalie debate, which is really not something we were planning on getting into, because John Tavares has a broken finger and is out a minimum 2 weeks.
Hit me with the results.
Well, there's just too many to even get to here. A lot of support for you.
That's right.
Aaron texting in saying, Hayes, you blatantly lost that debate. The one-timer, that's a tough shot. And what do you want out of a backup goalie? But that's the whole point. I'm not saying you have to stop great shots. I'm saying at some point you want to see a stop. Like, that is not unreasonable. When you've given up too quick and your team is folding on you, it wasn't a bullet that went off the crossbar and down. It went in the middle of the net. It was a hard shot, a tough shot, but you'd like to see a stop. Were there breakdowns before that? Yeah, it's a 5-on-3. Would I blame Hutchinson for the loss last night? No. But in a situation like that, if you want the job and you want to stay here, you got to make those stops. Like, remember, this is an extreme example, but McElhaney's most famous stop
was the Crosby save at home.
Do you know how easy that would have could have gone in, and what would we have said? Hey, it's Sid backdoor. What do you want? Breakdown. He made the stop.
Yeah, you tried to King Daddy Topper that one, didn't you? You went to the ultimate example.
It's a pretty good mic drop. It's a pretty good mic drop. That's all I'm going to say. Lots of support for the O-Dub.
Okay, when somebody doesn't come through in the clutch in the game tonight, I'm going to say, there's Kirk Gibson, broken leg, Dodgers. Didn't do that.
Yeah.
Choked.
Kirky had to have it.
Yeah, had to have it. That's well, basically what you've done.
Giancarlo Stanton, somehow it's still undetermined whether or not he's going to play tonight. I haven't seen anything confirmed last time I checked. The game's in 3.5 hours. It's game four of the ALCS. If you're a game-time decision, like, you got to get out there and Kirk Gibson this bad boy. Like, if you're banged up and you're not feeling at 100%, you're at home.
Non-negotiable,
you're one of the highest,
Pat Man would say.
Right. Like, at 4:30, you either know I can't play, or it's, nah, I might be able to play, and might be able to play is I'm playing game four of the ALCS
and
at home.
And by the way, you go down tonight, you're done, so...
Yeah, this is a must-win for the Yankees tonight.
You're done if you don't win it.
It's going to be cold, windy. Like, it's gross in Toronto all of a sudden. Like, it's gross. Today was garbage weather. And I think it's supposed to be nicer over the course of the weekend, but the past 48 hours have been terrible. Rob tweeting in saying, the captain, you're right about this argument. Goalie has one job, stop the puck. It doesn't matter what happens before it. Breakdowns happen. Goalie's got to make a stop. Anyway, putting that to bed, I don't think Tavares is returning in 2 weeks. I think you're probably looking at a month. And they got some tough games, and they have not been off to a good start. So it's a real challenge for this team.
Yeah, it's a rallying cry. I mean, there's no doubt.
Yeah. Gives you a real opportunity to prove that you deserve to be considered an upper echelon team. Because on paper, they have that talent. On paper, I look at the team, I'm like, I think that's a top 7 or 8 team in the league.
Yeah.
Like they were a year ago and 2 years ago.
The one thing you said that was actually half smart, the 34, for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you're going to be 23 minutes a night and be the best player on the ice and just own it. Own the game because you're that good. Look at what 87's doing in Pittsburgh. Go do that.
Well, guess who he should be up against on Saturday? Bergeron line.
All day long.
Yeah, and don't try to hide them.
No.
Go to them and say, you're playing them, and you got to win it.
Yeah, you and Marner and whoever else on the left side, put Mikheyev up there. Who cares?
Right.
Janssen, whoever. Say, you guys got that assignment. Go win the game.
That's right. Big Thursday nighter tonight. You talk about pressure and players that are under the gun for the first time. Patrick Mahomes...
Well, who would have thought that Denver would have been going into this game on a winning streak and Kansas City going into this game on a losing streak?
They've lost two in a row. They're only a 3-point favorite at Denver, which 2 weeks ago, this would have been a double-digit spread. 2 weeks ago, I think Kansas City would be 9.5, 10.5-point favorites. They're only a 3-point favorite tonight. And 3 weeks ago, Mahomes was the greatest thing that's ever happened in the NFL. Reputable, longtime NFL players, analysts coming out saying he is quite frankly playing better than anyone I've ever seen in my life. And man, the NFL, it humbles you quickly.
Do you want to saw it in half and do a multi-week bet? The Thursday nighter could be a 50 spot, and we'll flip a coin to see who goes first.
Okay. I could be very interested in that. I know who I want tonight.
I want KC all the time.
I want Kansas City so badly.
I will get Al's brother in here to do a coin flip with a double-sided coin for KC.
Oh, man.
Because I think they're going to rip Denver's face.
I do, too. I feel like Mahomes, even though, again, what I just said, he's under the gun. He's dealing with pressure that he has not dealt with before. I think he rolls into Denver, who now they're starting to think, okay, we got something going here, which maybe they do. But I feel like this is a big moment for him. 3 points on the road. Mahomes, I think he puts on a clinic tonight.
Me too.
Has that ability to do so anyway. All right, we'll get a legitimate coin. Al's brother will come in and flip it. Basically, whoever wins the flip is taking Kansas City.
We're treating Al's brother like Vanna White. Like anything big, he comes in here.
All right, should we get the grappler to come in for it?
I like that move.
All right, the grappler, you're going to be our official coin flipper.
The hell with Al's brother.
Al's brother is for the end of the show. Yeah. You got to make sure that the people wait until the end. It's a tease. It's an Al's brother's tease. He'll be on around 6:50 for Proline and for the throwaway comment. All right?
Got it.
Yeah, I'm on Kansas City big tonight. I'm seeing video actually right now. We're just talking about Stanton. He's testing out the quad. He's running down the first baseline and running gingerly, but this is New York. You're down 2-1. You're
getting
paid 30
forever.
If he doesn't play,
he'll be hated forever.
He will be hated for a long time.
Affirmative.
Like, he has had real injury problems all year, and, you know, I wouldn't say he's been underwhelming as a Yankee. When he's been healthy, he's been money, but it has not been the Giancarlo Stanton show at any point this season.
No.
The team
hardly heard his name.
He's hardly factored into the whole season, but this is when they need him. You're paid that kind of money, you've got that type of ability, and you're good enough to get out there and test it, and it's a quad, it's not a finger, it's not a hand. You got to play. You DH tonight, and you get out there, and you get four or five at-bats, and you better be productive. In New York, has to happen. All right, Stu Grimson will be in studio. We've got a new book out. We'll get into the details of the book, get into the details of his career. He's been doing a lot of analysis work down in Nashville with the NHL Network as well. So we'll ask him about the Leafs and their situation. Ray Ferraro coming up just after 5 on which player has the most pressure on them to really kind of carry the team if need be now that Tavares is out for a minimum of 2 weeks. And Matt Thomas, one of the newest Raptors at 5:30. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Ray Ferraro will join us in about 20 minutes. We'll get his take on the John Tavares injury. Broken finger, out at minimum of 2 weeks. Leafs back in action on Saturday night at home against Boston. But every once in a while, we get former teammates of yours in studio. Same with Noodles, but Noodles is in Vegas calling a game tonight. And you guys played together a couple of years. A year in Hartford, a year in Carolina. Stu Grimson in studio. What's up, Stu?
I'm great. Just as I walk into the studio, he's trying to set like ground rules for the discussion. Can I just put a little context on this? Mm-hmm. I know you've been on air with him a lot. This one will always be a rookie to me. Can we just start there? He'll always be a rookie to me.
How did you treat him when
Snot-nosed punk will always be a rookie to me.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, I was 18 years old. He was like 30 in Hartford.
Can I tell you one of my one of my favorite Jeff O'Neill stories? So I get traded from the Red Wings to the Hartford Whalers. Jeff O'Neill, is your second year in the league?
Probably, yeah.
It was your second year in the league. So I get traded to the Hartford Whalers. I'm there for 2 days, I think. I got 500, maybe 600 games under my belt at this point. Snotnose has played like, I don't know, 80 games. He skates up to me in practice. He goes, piece of conversation we'd had together. Skates up to me in practice. So, Reaper, you going to be able to mix it up for us? You're going to be able to, like, who is this kid? Who is this kid?
Just marching
just trying to start some conversation.
Yeah. Get right into it.
Is that what you were looking for, a little pep talk when you first got there?
Yeah, I needed some inspiration from Jeff O'Neill I never heard of.
Right. Well, there you go. How about that?
One of my most horrifying moments. We just got torched one night in Montreal, and Paul Maurice has this bright idea. He's going to turn back the clock to John Brophy days, and he lines the whole team up at center ice, and he goes, I'm going to dunk the puck in the corner, and whoever you're matched up against, you got to go battle for it and take it to the net. So you look to the left, and I'm trying to break down.
Mapping out your spot in line, picking your opponent.
I'm mapping out my opponent, and I look, and I'm like, Stu, I'm like, and I took the puck off him, and I scored, and Kelly Chase saved my life. He went and grabbed him and said, this can't happen right now.
I don't know if I even remember that. I'm sure it's a true story.
What would you have done, though, if you caught him? Was the plan to drop the gloves in front of Maurice?
Happened?
Yeah, were you going to get in a fight with a teammate in a
puck battle?
Stranger things have happened.
How many fights in practice did you get into?
Oh, not that many over the course of my career. One of my favorites, and Jeff will remember this one. Remember Carolina? We had Chico.
Rick Cicone.
Enrico Ciccone was a Carolina Hurricane for a brief stretch of time. So Kevin Dineen, the heart and soul of our lineup, a great, great pro, a good friend of Owen, myself. Kevin Dineen is our captain back there. He's coming back from, did he have surgery on that abdominal?
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of like the sports hernia. He was coming back from that. And it's a very delicate injury. So he's gradually, slow steps, rehabilitating. He's finally getting back to a point where, like, he is day-to-day. He might be back in the lineup anytime. And I think we're having a skate the day before Dino's going to play. He's skating through center ice. He and his line mates, they're rushing through center ice. Enrico Ciccone steps up on him in middle ice, and he wrecks our captain, like blows our captain up as he's coming back from abdominal surgery. I mean, I was in the other corner of the rink. I mean, I threw my stick in the corner. I threw my glove in the other corner. I threw my glove in that corner, and I went after Ciccone. I mean, what
was
the guy
thinking?
What was he even thinking?
This fight right
yeah.
now.
Did he drop his gloves too? He must have been ready for it.
He was so a pretty tough customer.
He was but he was totally bewildered. Like, whoa. You know, he had this big sleepy kind of French Canadian Italian thing going on. What, buddy? What? He was a piece of work.
Stu Grimson in studio. So the book is called, you got a book out, The Grim Reaper, The Life and Career of a Reluctant Warrior. Why were you a reluctant warrior?
You know, it's a bit of a misnomer, I'm sure, because for folks that watch me play over the course of my career, I probably didn't look all that reluctant. But there was a stage kind of late teens, early 20s. It's a hard role to adopt, especially when you're not playing a lot and you're asked to kind of go out there and provide that physical component for your team. And it's hard to manufacture the adrenaline to just go from 0 to 100 miles an hour and go lock horns with somebody, you know, 6'4", 6'5", 230 pounds. It takes a while to grow into that. I walked away from an opportunity to turn pro in the game. Calgary drafted me in 85. I went to their training camp. A week into it, I walked out. I said, I don't think this is for me. I played a couple of years of college hockey and kind of grew up a little bit and finally came to the conclusion, I want to take a crack at pro hockey and see if I can actually carve out an NHL career for myself. But there was this period of reluctance where it took a while to kind of mature into that mindset, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Did you ever enjoy fighting, like a fight, though? Was there one in particular where you're like, this is one I want to take on and I'm happy the way it played out?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think I've ever been asked that before. As a general premise, I didn't really care for fighting. I didn't care for that role. But I played it because the upside, the benefits to playing in the NHL far outweighed this. You know, I was only fighting. I fight once every 3 or 4 games that would last 40 or 50 seconds. So, you know, I didn't really care for the role of fighter. But Proby and I used to lock horns all the time. Bob was a big, fierce competitor. Towards the end of his career, you know, I was still, you know, I was still in really top form, and he and I used to lock horns all the time. I was kind of getting the better of Proby towards the end of my career, and if I ever enjoyed it, it was those coming out on top, fighting one of the best.
Right, that would be pretty gratifying, I would think.
How did you come up with this? I mean, people have asked me, and my story is probably not wanting to tell to everybody, but everybody gets asked. How did you say, you know what, I want to put this on pen and paper and tell everyone my story?
Well, you know, it took me a long time to get to that place. I had a lot of people kind of in my ear over the years. I think ultimately it was my wife. Jennifer and I have been together for 4 years now, and she kept preaching to me, the story's a really interesting one. And I think it was really, she was the tipping point for me, And I think at the end of the day, and I'm sure you probably will go through this at some point, think about it in this context. Yes, it's about the stories. And yes, it's about the career of somebody that played at the NHL level for a long, long time. That's an interesting story all by itself. But for me, this is what kind of turned it for me. When you do that, you learn something about yourself, and you learn something about making a living at a really high level. There are challenges that go along with it. And to be able to communicate that to other people, and they might get something from it that benefits them, that, for me, I think at the end of the day, it provided some substance to the project itself, the subject matter itself. I think that's ultimately why I came down on you. I'll write it.
The book is called The Grim Reaper, The Life and Career of a Reluctant Warrior. You can find it wherever books are sold. Stu Grimson in studio. When you scored a goal, your teammates' reaction, what was that like?
I scored a lot of goals.
I'm looking at your hockey
17
DB.
17 in total.
Not
I scored
bad.
A lot of goals.
I remember you scored a big one in Colorado one night. Just the best celebration. Stick up in the air.
I mean, far and away, that's the most fun. I mean, It really is incredible. And maybe, I don't know, Oak can speak to this better than I can. Maybe, you know, when you're doing that 30, 40 or so times a year, it loses a little bit of the luster and the appeal. But that really is the best part of the game. Can I tell you, the most memorable goal I ever scored, I was playing for the Detroit Red Wings. We're in the Western Conference Finals against Chicago. Scott, I hadn't been playing at all, and we're down by a goal. In game three of that series, we're up in the series, and Western Conference Finals, I've been on the bench for about a period and change. Scotty throws me out there. Scotty Bowman throws me out there. Keith Primo, Tim Taylor with me, and lo and behold, Tim Taylor and I get a 2-on-1 break against Steve Smith. Taylor threads a beautiful pass right past Smith over to me. I bang it through Eddie Belfour's legs. I crashed into the end wall because I had to go down on my knees to get it. I mean, I'd still be there today if Keith Primo hadn't come and scooped me up and brought me back to the bench. But I was numb for the rest of that game. It was a big moment, and a guy like me doesn't often contribute in a moment like that. But far and away, it was, and it leaves you wanting to do it again and again and again. It's a great. It's the most fun.
That would have been cool. Was that at home or on the road?
On the road,
yeah.
In Chicago, an old building that I played in.
Pretty familiar with that. Yeah. Stu Grimson in studio. Do you ever go back and watch your YouTube clips?
I catch myself chasing the rabbit down the hole every now and then late at night, and I get so damn worked up. I'm like, I got to stop this. I can't fall asleep. You know, you get back into the moment, and it gets the energy and the juices flowing again.
Does it really feel like you're reliving it?
I guess if you
almost
don't really remember each one, it could be like live entertainment. You're like, I don't remember what happened here.
Sometimes that's the case. You don't remember, oh, gosh, I don't remember he got a couple in on me there. Like, right. You know, why I should have done this, or, oh, man, I really smoked him there. You know, it gets the juices flowing again and in a not-so-healthy way. And there you are, 2 o'clock in the morning, trying to get yourself to sleep.
No kidding. The book is The Grim Reaper, The Life and Career of a Reluctant Warrior. He is longtime NHLer, former teammate of O's. Really appreciate you coming in studio. Good luck with the book, and thank you for doing this.
Thanks so much. Pleasure to be a part of the discussion. Really enjoyed it. And great to see you again, my friend.
You got it, Stewie.
There he is, Stu Grimson. Longtime teammate. Well, short time, but you'll never forget it. Back in Hartford and Carolina. Ray Ferraro coming up in the next hour. Matt Thomas of the Raptors at 5:30. Overdrive continues TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.